Hi, this is Pastor Mike from the Gospel Church. You're listening to our podcast. It's my hope that as you listen to it, that you'll fall deeply in love with Jesus and that you trust him with every part of your life. Thanks for listening.
For being a foundation that we can build our life upon, one that will never be taken from us, one that not even death can separate us. And Jesus, I just wanted to say, as we begin this year, 2019, we want you. We want you. We want your presence. We want you to be God with us, Emmanuel. And so, Jesus, we just ask that as we study the word, that your presence would be heavy in this place. Holy Spirit, we ask that you speak a word to our heart, that you call us to a deeper love and affection for Jesus. And we pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. You can have a seat. Welcome to the Gospel Church. We're so glad that you're here. My name is Mike. I'm the pastor here, and it is my privilege to have you here at our church this morning. It is wonderful to see your faces again. I missed you guys last week. We had our annual kind of one Sunday off, and then this week we're back, and I am so fired up for what God is going to do in our church and in my life and in your life. And so today, if you're new, we just want to welcome you. Thank you so much for being here. I am very well aware of the fact that every year, at the beginning of the year, God is going to do something new. And one of the most exciting parts of that is the new people that God brings into my life. Every year, I just come just prayerfully, just seeking out what God would do in my life, but then also just what God will do in my life relationally. And one of the coolest things is seeing the new people that just enter into my life and into my story every year. And some of my closest friends that I'm walking with right now, some of those people I didn't even know last year. And it's been so neat to see God just bring new people and bring them not just in as like acquaintances, but as friends and even as family. And so it's just beautiful to see what God can do through the life of a local church. And if you're new, we'd love to get you plugged into our story and into our community. So one of the best ways that you can do that is there was a card that somebody handed you, just kind of like we'd like to meet you card, and we'd love for you to fill that out and then drop it in the offering plate at the end of the service. And if that's you, if you're here first time, that's all we'd want from you, just to fill that out and just drop that in the plate, and we'd love to meet you and get to know you personally. Now, today, if you would, please open your Bible to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to be starting a new series today. We're going to be starting a series that we call Resolved. And so just kind of give you an idea of like what we're doing this year. We're going to be doing this four-week series called Resolved, and then we're going to be walking through the book of Mark for most of the year. So this is a kind of starter for us as we start thinking about the year, and then we're going to be walking through the book of Mark, which is going to be very exciting. I'm excited to go back into the Gospels. And so if you're tracking with me, start thinking and praying about your study of the scripture in those categories this year. Now, as we're starting out the year, I always find that it's an incredible opportunity for us to center ourselves on what really matters. And so as I've been thinking and praying about this year, I just felt God was laying on my heart certain things that I want to share with you as a person that's saying, listen, let's follow the Lord together in this direction. Now, as we're praying about these things and pursuing God's heart for this year, our leadership team, we've been praying about it a lot. I've been praying about it personally, and I felt that this is where God is leading us to be people who are pursuing God, that we would pursue God in a deeper and more passionate way this year than we ever have, that we'd be his in ways we've never been before, that we'd be fully surrendered to him. In fact, that's one of the things I've been praying about. I know that when we talk about resolutions, I find that people are like all over the map on resolutions. I found that, and I've been there too. So like some years I've come and like had like 15 things I'm going to do this year, and they're like point by point resolutions or goals. Often I don't get through March and I've forgotten most of them. And so like sometimes the script kind of flips for me. You may be the same way. You're like, I'm just not doing resolutions anymore. In fact, I think it's kind of like one of those things I just noticed just generally in our city. In fact, I kind of lead our kids' ministry teachers, I lead them through a version of the sermon every Sunday morning, and none of them had any resolutions because they're like, we've kind of done that, been burned out on resolutions. I even went to the gym this weekend, and I realized I didn't have anything to worry about because the gym was actually kind of empty. Every year, usually, people have this resolution to get in shape, and they all show up, right? And you can't get in. If you go to the gym regularly, you're like, hey, listen, I can't even use it. I'm just going to take a week off because everybody else is here. But in 2 weeks, they're going to be gone. So I'm just going to take a little bit of a break. This year, I think people just kind of gave up on resolutions. The gym was just normal. There was nobody really there. And yet, at the same time, even though you may have a lot of resolutions this year, or you may be doing a one-word resolution, or you're doing none at all, I find that it's really important for us as a community to say, hey, let's pursue God together, and let's have some ideas around what that might look like. And so today, I'm going to be putting in front of you a resolution, something that I've resolved to do, and I want you to join me in this year, that we would have a resolution to study the Word of God daily. To study the Word of God daily. As I was praying about where our church is headed this year, one of the things I couldn't get away from is this call to pursue God in His Word daily and how important that really is. To be people who are creatures of the Word, people who say, I desire to meet with God every day, to have this deep desire to know God and to read His Word daily. And so that's what I'm inviting you to do this year, to be somebody who says, listen, I'm going to be in the Word of God every day, to commit yourself with me and your brothers and sisters here at our church to say, we're going to, as a community, make a decision to spend time with God every day. Now, you may be saying okay, that's great. I've tried that before. I've kind of failed, and I'm not sure how I'm going to do that well. And so we're going to spend the rest of our time talking about how to do that, okay? We're going to be looking at the life of a man named Joshua, and then later we're going to be looking at Jesus as what it looks like to be somebody who pursues God on a daily basis. So in Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, we're going to be walking through Joshua's instructions by God himself on how to pursue God. So read it with me. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 says, above all, be strong and very courageous to observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night, so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, this passage of scripture is one that I continue to come back to in my life. Often there'll be a season where God just kind of inserts this passage of scripture in my life because I really feel a lot of kinship with Joshua. Now, for us to kind of unpack this passage, it's important for us to do a little bit of background on where this is coming from, okay? So Joshua was a leader of the people of Israel. And he was, at this time, coming into a position of great leadership. He became the primary leader over the people of Israel, and he succeeded, or he followed in leadership, his mentor, Moses. Now, these were huge shoes to fill, because Moses was unlike anybody else who'd ever kind of walked the earth before. He was a visionary leader who led his people out of captivity from Egypt and was bringing them to the promised land. And God used Moses in very unique ways. God did incredible acts of power through Moses. And Moses would be the first to tell you that it really wasn't even his own power. Moses would be very quick to tell you that he was not somebody who had it figured out, or somebody who was in control of his situation or determined his own destiny. Moses was known by his humility. God used Moses primarily because God humbled Moses to make him after somebody who was after his own heart. Someone that God could really use. And now Joshua is rising up in leadership, and he is taking the reins, and he's been tasked with an incredible opportunity and an incredible task, which is to bring the people of Israel finally into the land that God had promised them. Now, if you're a leader, and everybody at some level is a leader, whether you're leading yourself, or you're leading a team, or you're leading an organization, or you're leading a movement, you are at some level always a leader, right? All leadership starts with self-leadership. And every single one of us knows that part of being a leader means that you're usually pretty scared, okay? You kind of fluctuate between being very confident, you're like, yeah, we got this figured out, and being terrified that you're gonna either succeed or fail. But like success has its own set of like issues, and failure also has its set of issues. And so there's always a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty when you're leading. And here Joshua is probably feeling the same way. Like, God, you're calling me to go bring these people into a land. I can see all the obstacles. There are a lot of people there who are gonna fight us every step of the way. We have very limited resources. How are we going to do this? And so in the middle of this, God actually comes and speaks to Joshua. And that's something I think is important for us to just hold on to when we're looking at the text today. This is not just descriptive language. God is actually speaking into Joshua's life and giving him insight into how to be a good leader, how to be a man after God's heart, how to be someone that obeys God, and how to be someone who pursues God's presence. So this is incredibly translatable to our own life, right? And so you find here God giving Joshua a word. And the word is to be strong and very courageous. And when you read that, you might be like me, like, okay, I got that. All right, I just need to be strong and courageous. I need to be strong and not be afraid of anything. I'm just going to step in courageously into anything that I see. That's what God wants from me. And so when you read this text, you hear this and you feel like, okay, if I'm going to follow God like Joshua did, I just need to just bow up, muster up any kind of like willpower I have and just step boldly into whatever is next. And there is a part of that. But I want you to see with me in verse 7 what he's called to be strong and courageous in. Don't let those words hijack what God is actually saying to Joshua. What does he really say to Joshua? Well, he tells him to be strong and courageous. Look at me, verse 7, above all, highlight this. He's like, above all. When God says above all, you're like, oh, that's an important piece, right? So above all, be strong and very courageous to what? Not to be a strong leader. Not to be somebody with all the answers. Not to be somebody who's got it figured out. Not to be somebody who's just brave. But to be strong and courageous to observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. The rest of the sentence says, you're to be strong, courageous, Joshua, to stay in the word of God. You're called to be somebody who is courageous and strong in your commitment to observe. The idea of observe carefully here is to be somebody who lives your life according to the instruction that God gave him. So what God is referring to is he's referring to the law, the Torah, that God gave Moses on the mountain. That Moses wrote down. We know those as the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I'm missing one, right? Leviticus, right? Those five. You try it off the top of your head, right? Those five. And God is calling him to actually observe them, carefully observe them. And this is what he's calling him to be strong and courageous in. So for us, if we want to translate this into our own life, if we're going to study the word, one of the ways we do that is to study God's word with courage. To study God's word with courage. Now, this is important for us to realize that God's word is the best way to know and experience God, to experience him and actually hear from him. This is why God is calling Joshua to be a person who is courageous and continues to observe the word of God, to not just let it be something that sits on a shelf, but actually enters into his life. That he is someone who devotes himself to spending time with God and knowing God. And he says, keep it. Don't turn from it to the right or the left, because if you follow it, you will find success wherever you go. There's a promise in that when you follow God's word and order your life according to what God has revealed, it will go well for you. So this isn't just because God's a rule keeper saying, listen, do what I'm telling you to do, or else, right? He's not an angry parent saying, if you don't do this, you're going to time out, or you're going to have a toy taken away, or I'm going to go punish you. No, he's someone who's saying, listen, follow me, because I know what's best for you. If you follow how I've laid out the world to work, then you will find success wherever you go. See, God is offering us instruction. He's offering us the word because it actually is for our good and our joy. God is not a cosmic killjoy going, listen, I don't want any smiling or laughing. You just need to follow the rules, get in line. No, God is calling us to know him and to spend time with him and to know his ways and his word for our ultimate joy and our success. Because God is a good God who understands what really is best for us. And studying the word is the foundation to all of this. Being people who are in the word of God is the foundation, and it takes courage to continue to go back to the word of God. See, this is the reality, is that when we see the word, when we spend time with the word, we realize that the narrative that God is telling about ourselves, about the world, about the way humanity works, about the way relationships work, about the way that we should live our life, the things we treasure, all those things are in a counter narrative to what the world is telling us. The world tells us, listen, you have to be strong in yourself. What you want, you can achieve. You can get all you want here in the world. All you need is love. All you need is to pursue yourself, be self-satisfied. And the Bible says, listen, you can't find ultimate satisfaction here. You need to find it in God. You need to find it in him. And it takes great courage to continue to go back and trust God that he knows what's best. What I find over and over again in my life and the life of people that I interact with is that we usually fall astray when we stop listening to the word of God. When we start saying, listen, I can figure this out on my own. When we stop having the courage to go and say, I'm going to believe what God said and I'm going to trust him, even though it's really painful to be in the place that I'm in right now. That's why it means that we need to have courage to continue to root ourselves in the conviction that God is good. And this idea of Bible reading is the most powerful and most transformational source of spiritual growth in our lives. So there's a group of people here in town called Lifeway. Some of you guys may work for them. Lifeway is a book publishing group, entity, part of the Southern Baptist Convention. They also have a research wing. And they did a study about what are the most important factors towards making people strong followers of Jesus. This is a great study, right? Like, what are the things, what are the inputs that actually create the most spiritual growth? And so they kind of did this extensive study. They went and said, okay, what are the things that actually make people strong followers of Jesus, disciples? And this is what they came up with, okay? It's like brilliant, earth-shattering. The number one factor towards spiritual growth was daily Bible reading. I mean, that's not rocket surgery, right? Everybody would be like, I learned that in Sunday school. It's true, though. Spending time with God, reading your Bible every day is the most powerful tool that you have to be like Jesus. It is. And the second thing that they found was the most important thing to help people grow in maturity in Christ. Guess what it was? Going to church on Sunday morning. Like, literally, it wasn't complicated. It was read your Bible, go to church. You will grow spiritually. At a minimum, if you just do those two things, you will grow in your faith. And so as you're thinking about this year, a commitment to saying, I want to spend time in God's word and I want to go to church will be one of the most transformational decisions you can ever make. It's to say, listen, I'm going to be somebody who is about the work of God and pursuing God. Now, he doesn't stop there. He doesn't just say, just read it and observe it. God tells Joshua to meditate on God's word, to meditate on God's word. So let's go back to the text, verse 8. God says this. He says, this book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it. You see the word there, meditate. You are to meditate on it day and night so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. So what he says, listen, the way that you actually absorb the word isn't just reading it and just being like, okay, cool, check that off, and now God's going to be happy with me. It's not like just a list of do's and don'ts, like just do read your Bible, and then you're good with God. He's calling you to actually bring it into your life, to meditate on it. Now, this word meditate is one that we kind of have to reclaim from a biblical like perspective, like have a biblical understanding of what the word meditate means. So many of us think about meditation. We think about things that are kind of from the Eastern like persuasion, like Eastern mysticism. This idea of meditation that we usually think about is this idea of emptying yourself so that you can kind of be one with the universe, or kind of come to a place of a loss of self. It's just the idea of just like being being very still and becoming empty. But that's not what the biblical understanding of meditation is. In a biblical sense, meditation is to fill your mind. So it's not emptying your mind, it's to fill your mind and to fill your mind with the things of God, to think about them and to process them and to think and just continue to just turn them over in your mind, to continue to think and ponder and reflect on how the Word of God is part of your life. And here, God is telling Joshua, listen, you're to actually let this be a part of your mouth, to continue to talk about this, to let it be a part of your life. And he's referencing the way that God instructed the people of Israel in the law to make it be a part of their life. So what the Jewish people did in response to this, they actually wrote the Word of God down, and they put it on their wrists in like kind of like a bracelet. They would put it on they had this like fancy headband. The 10-cent seminary word is phylactery, okay? You can use that in a sentence if you want. But it was basically a little box that they had some of the scripture in. They put it like on bracelets. They put it on these like kind of like headbands that they would have. They put it on their doorposts so that you would continue to think about what the Word of God said, to be somebody who's a creature of the Word of God. And so here you find God calling Joshua to be someone that lets the Word of God just enter into his heart. The Bible uses the word treasure when it calls this meditation, to treasure God's word. And you find this throughout the scriptures, but Psalm 119 is one of the verses that I remember even as a child kind of just being in my life. One of my grandparents gave me an inscription with this on it, and I just want to share with you because I think it's helpful. So even as a young man, I remember seeing this on my wall. And it says this, it says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping your word. So I find the same idea, that if you follow God and you keep his word, there will be purity that just enters into your life. And it says, I have sought you with all my heart. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have treasured your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Lord, may you be blessed. Teach me your statutes. There's this ideal of being somebody who says, listen, I want to have God in my heart. I want him to be what I think about. I want to treasure God's word so that I can live a life that pleases him, not just on my own effort, but somebody that actually understands what it means to know and love God with all that I have. And here's the problem is that you can't do that on your own. You can't summon up or drum up enough strength on your own to do that. The only way you can actually get to a place where you fully want to treasure God is to pursue him relationally and to know him, not just as a God who tells you to do things, not like a cosmic boss, but as a personal friend. And that's what God offers us in Jesus. And that's what you see here in verse 9. You find not just, hey, keep the law, keep the rules, be pure because you just need to be. That brings death. You can't ever do that on your own. But what you find here, even here in verse 9, you find a picture of what God is offering ultimately in Jesus. God says this to Joshua. He says, haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Why? Like, why ultimately can we be strong and courageous? Why can we stay close to the word? Why can we meditate on it? Because, God says, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. See, the whole purpose of this pursuit of God and pursuing him in the word of God is to embrace the presence of God, which is the third thing I want you to recognize today. If you want to be somebody who's saying, listen, I'm going to be in the word of God, you don't just need to be somebody who says, listen, I'm going to just go read it with courage. Not only do you need to, you're not just to just meditate on it, but you're to embrace God's presence because God wants a relationship with you. God desires a relationship with you, which is what we just celebrated at Christmas, is that God sent Jesus to enter into the world with us to be Emmanuel, that he is God with us, that he would walk with us. And this is the kind of God that we serve, that Jesus has come and become one of us so that we can have a relationship with God, one that we couldn't do on our own, but he came and gave himself for us, Jesus, the one that we want to model and pursue our lives after, that we want to just give our entire life to. And this is this Jesus that is coming to us, this Savior of the world that has come and entered into our reality so that we can know God and have a relationship with God. And so I think it's important for us when we consider what it looks like to be people who pursue God's word every day, which is what I'm asking you to do with me this year, is to look at how Jesus did it. So if you want to turn with me to Mark chapter 1. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus enters into the scene, has been preaching and teaching. He's become well known. And in the middle of an incredibly busy schedule, so he spends all day, the day before our text, preaching and teaching. He's healing people. He's around all these people everywhere. So if you're an extrovert, like this is your happy place, right? You're like, I love being around people. But every person, even if you're an extrovert or introvert, at some point there's like a threshold you can't cross anymore, right? They're like, hey, listen, I can't be with people anymore. You probably experienced this at Christmas. You're like, there are people in my house in places they're not usually at. Like I go here, they're in my favorite spot, like my place I hide from my children, they're there. Like there's people everywhere. Like I can't get away from them. And you just are so happy the holidays are over because you're like, I can go be by myself, right? This is what life is like. It's constantly like stepping into a relationship and then like recovering from the relationship, right? And so you find Jesus in this process where he's been pouring himself out all day, and it could have been really easy for him to say, listen, I'm going to just like sleep in and just kind of like take it easy this morning because, man, I healed a ton of people. What have you guys done, right? And yet, what does he do? Verse 35 says, very early in the morning, but it was still dark, he got up, went out and made his way to a deserted place, and there he was praying. So here we find some pro tips from Jesus, the only true pro at this, right, at pursuing God's presence. And I think this is helpful for us. So we're saying, yeah, I want to spend time with God every day. I want to be somebody who has courage in doing this. I want to be somebody who embraces God's presence. But how do I do that? Well, Jesus actually models this in that he says, I'm going to be somebody who's about the pursuit of God on a daily basis. And so the first thing you see him doing is that he spends time with God early in the day. And I want to invite you to do the same thing, to spend time with God early in the day. That's what you see here in verse 35. It says, very early in the morning while it was still dark. You know it's early when it's still dark, right? Like my kids, when I left this morning, it was still dark. I was like, this is early. My kids were awake. I was like, go to bed. Like, it's still dark. We have a rule. If it's dark, you got to be in bed. You can't be running around at 4 in the morning, right? Go to bed. Told them to go to bed. Turn the light off for them because I was like, don't come out of this room until, like, the light is outside, okay? You can't come outside, which is great in the winter because it's later, you know? But, it gets pretty early in the summer. But here's what you find is that Jesus, before anybody else is out doing stuff, he's like, I need to go spend time with God. And he chooses to do that very early in the morning, which for all you people like me who like don't really get sleepy till it's midnight, that's really bad news, right? And yet, why does he do this? Why does he get up early before everybody else? Why does he get up while it's still dark and spend time with God? Well, because he knows two things. One, if you don't prioritize something, it's just probably not going to happen. If you don't prioritize it, if you don't schedule it, if you don't think about it, it's probably not going to happen. I've come to the place where I've made enough mistakes in my marriage where I've like double booked things and my wife's gotten mad at me that I've just realized like I have to book everything on my iPhone, right? If I don't put it on the calendar, I'm going to get in trouble. And the same thing is true with my relationship with Jesus. See, here's the thing I know. It's like no matter how late my kids stay up, they're still going to be awake at 6. No matter, like, when I was single, and I was like, man, I could like get up whenever I wanted. It was a lot easier. With kids, it's just tougher. It is. Single people, treasure that. Treasure that. And I mean that truly. Like I long for the days where I was like, man, I could, like that day is going to come again. Like when I can actually like take the time and just kind of have a long, unhurried time with God. Now it's like, man, I got to get this thing before these kids show up. And here's the thing, is that if I don't schedule it, there's going to be something else that's going to steal my heart away from God. There is. There's going to be a crisis at work, or Twitter's going to hijack me, which happens all the time. There will be something that will steal my affections from Jesus. And so if I want to have a relationship with God, I need to make sure that I prioritize it and put it early. So sometimes I've followed what my dad's advice was, and you can do this as you please. Be careful with it, but use it if it helps. My dad always would say, no Bible, no breakfast. That's pretty serious, right? Some of you guys are like, whoa, does that mean coffee? No, we're not savages. We're not savages. You need that coffee. But I will say this, like, there is something about having God's word nourish you before food does. It says something radical about your priorities. About saying, listen, I want to pursue the presence of God more than food, Jesus. This is an act of worship because I need you. And so that may be you. You know, say, listen, I need to reorganize my schedule so I can spend time with God. I need to spend time with God. I want to do that every day, so I'm going to reorganize my schedule because I want to know what it's like to feel the presence of God. Psalm 90, verse 14 says this, says, satisfy us in the morning with your faithful love. Isn't that cool? It's like, I want to be satisfied with God's faithful love in the morning that we may shout for joy and be glad all our days. I want to feel the joy of God. It comes from pursuing it and experiencing his love. And so if that's you, I encourage you to say, listen, I'm going to make a radical departure from my regular schedule to put God's word into my life because I need it. So I'm going to experience his faithful love. Secondly, what you see in Jesus' story here is that he chooses the setting. This is what he says. He says he got up, went out, and made his way to a deserted place. He doesn't stay in his bed, right? Bedside devotions means no devotions. It's just true. And Jesus says, listen, I'm going to get up out of my bed. I'm going to leave the house. I'm going to go someplace where it's deserted so I can focus on God. So this is you. If you want to pursue God this year and say, I want to be serious about being in the Word every day, you have to choose a place that you're going to do it. Choose a place where you can say, listen, I go to this place. I'm going to go spend time with God. I know that no one's going to find me there. It's the coffee shop that I don't even know anybody's name, so nobody's going to come over and talk to me. I'm going to spend time with God. It's going to be a place where in my house where I know I can just kind of hide away and spend time with God there. And the word deserted, I think, in today's age, if we're going to really apply that well, means probably without your phone. Because Instagram means that you're not alone ever, right? Same thing with Twitter, Facebook. Man, that thing just sucks your attention more than you could ever imagine. It just takes your time and your focus away on God. You can't meditate on God's word. You can't experience the presence of God. You can't be slow enough where you can actually hear his voice and respond to it if you're like instantly like scrolling between apps. Think about your email. Think about things that are worrying you. No, if you want to spend time alone with God, you have to choose the setting and say, listen, I'm going to just carve out some space where I can just listen to the voice of God because I need him. And lastly, what you see Jesus doing is that he prays. It says there he was praying. I think this is so fascinating that Jesus loves being with God. Jesus prays. Like, when you think, like, he's God, like, why would he pray? Like, can't you just be, like, telepathically be like, God, you know, now I'm going to just go do a bunch of stuff. But that's not what he does. He loves to pray. Over and over again in the Gospels, you find him saying, listen, everybody get out. I just need to spend time with God. Why? Because Jesus loves the presence of God. He loves spending time with the Father. And that's what we're called to do as well. That's what reading your Bible is. It's actually, in a way, it's praying. It's hearing God speak into your life. And as you read it, you get to pray, God, help me apply this to my life. God, I want to hear from you. God, I want to know you. This is what Jesus does. Jesus is such a student of the word that when he is tempted by Satan, guess what he does? He refutes every one of Satan's lies with the scripture from Leviticus. Leviticus. Like, most of us have never cracked the book of Leviticus, but Jesus apparently thought it was really important. And here we find a model of someone who says, I want to know the presence of God. Even though I'm God Almighty, I desire to have communion with my Father and with the Spirit. I'm going to pray. So friend, as we close today, would you join me to be somebody who's in the Word of God, that loves the Word of God, who's passionate about Jesus, that he would increase and that you would decrease, that you would be more like Jesus? That's what I want. If there's a one-word resolution for my life, it's pursuit. This year, I want to pursue Jesus. I want to pursue him. I want to know him. I want to feel his affection for me. I want to feel the joy that comes from knowing Jesus. I'm convinced that the only way 2019 will be the best year yet is if I pursue Jesus with all I got. And I want to invite you to do that with me. And here's one way you can do that, to commit, to say, I want to pursue time with God every day. And let me just say this. Listen, if you've never done this, something is better than nothing. Even if you're like, 10 minutes, man, I can do 10 minutes or 5 minutes. Take that step today to say, I'm going to spend time with God every day, even if it's just a little bit. So if you're a starter, I want to just invite you to do that. You may never have read your Bible before. You're going to say, listen, every day I'm going to spend some time with God. For those of you guys who've been doing it a little bit longer, I want to encourage you to say, listen, I'm going to start journaling. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to write down some of the things I'm seeing in it. I'm going to pray about it. But then there's also, I know some of you guys who are just like, you guys are go-getters. And having a goal in mind just like helps you just say, listen, I can focus, I can do this. It's something really tangible. So this is something I wanted to do with you guys. And I know I said a bunch of bad things about phones just a minute ago. But one of the things I found that is just so helpful is actually leveraging some technology for the glory of God, okay? And there's a Bible app, the YouVersion. Most people like may have it on your phone. But on this Bible app, there's actually a reading plan. And I'm going to tell you today that I'm going to go through this year. And I'm going to try to read the entire New Testament. And there's a reading plan on there that if you want to do this with me, you can follow along. We can pray and seek God's face together as we read through the New Testament together this year. And the cool thing about it is it actually lets you set up a group to do this together with. So you can get your small group to do it with you. You can get a friend, get your spouse, be like, hey, let's do this together. It'll actually like sync you up with them, and then it will send you a daily annoying update telling you that you haven't done it yet, right? So there's no excuses. You even have like a personal assistant in your pocket telling you, read your Bible. And here's what I believe. If we just take these little steps, saying we want to know Jesus, we spend 5, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes with God every day, there's going to be an incredible transformation. Because guess what happens when you spend time with somebody? You start looking like them, right? You start acting like them. We all have friends we have these inside jokes with, right? Because we spend a lot of time with them. Start talking like them. And that's what happens when you enter into a relationship with Jesus and pursue him like this, by spending time with him every day. Because you're going to become like Jesus. And he's worth it. He's worth it. He is so worth your attention. And he brings you joy and hope unlike anything you've ever experienced. So let's pray right now. Jesus, we just ask that you raise up in our hearts an unquenchable, undying passion for you. That we'd have a vision of the risen Christ rise so beautifully before us that we just say, I want as much of Jesus as I possibly can have, because he is the one who gave me a new lease on life. He's the one who saved my soul. He's the one who knows me, even the parts of my life that I'm just embarrassed and ashamed about, my darkest secrets, and says, I love you anyway. Come home. This is the Jesus that we know, the light of the universe who has come to give light among darkness here, starting with our own hearts. So Jesus, we just tell you today that we love you and we want to know you. And I pray that you make this year a year about pursuing your heart. It's in your name we pray this. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Gospel Church Podcast. Before you go, please hit subscribe. And if you want to give to support the mission, please hit the link in the description. We'll see you next week.